This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There are tens, probably hundreds of thousands of college students out there this summer doing internships, trying to fill their resumes with real-world experience in the hopes of getting a job when they graduate. Neither jobs nor internships are all that easy to get right now, which may explain why record numbers of American students are heading to China to do their summer internships, programs that send students to China report triple-digit growth. Not all those programs, though, work out, and some go spectacularly bad. Our China correspondent Rob Schmitz has that story.
Keenan Madsen's internship in China this summer has taught him an important lesson.
I've essentially been homeless in China for a month, living day to day, not knowing what I'm doing. So I definitely have learned more about myself and my personal strengths as far as what I can take.
Homeless in China wasn't an item Madsen was hoping to add to his resume. It all started when he and 13 other Americans were selected by the Hong Kong America Center for its first annual South China internship program. Mark Rowland, an accounting major at Washington University in St. Louis, was another student on the program.
One of the big features of the internship was that we would be partnered with a Chinese intern, and with them we would be conducting like a bilingual research project in marketing, finance, or accounting, something that would benefit the company that we were placed with.
Roland, Madsen, and three others found out where they were going to be placed. Chimelong Paradise, China's largest amusement park in the city of Guangzhou.
So it's got a zoo, a circus, like Cirque du Soleil. It's got SeaWorld. It's like all the great American theme parks rolled into one.
Roland was a little nervous. Was this the sort of place you could do an accounting internship? He says the program officer assured him it'd be a good fit.
I was just envisioning kind of like a corporate job in their headquarters or whatever.
Keenan Madsen, who plans to major in physics, says he was told he could do an engineering and design internship at the park. But the amusement park boss had another idea. Once a group of Americans arrived, they were handed costumes and they were ordered to put them on.
Don't know if you've ever seen Mary Poppins, but when Mary Poppins goes into the dream land and Dick Van Dyke is wearing that white and red jumpsuit with the top hat, that's exactly what I look like.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious.
And that's the moment Madsen realized he had traveled 10,000 miles around the planet so that he could greet visitors at the front gate of a Chinese amusement park. His job was to wear a candy cane striped suit and collect entrance tickets for Chinese tourists.
Because I was afraid of people, I was just a lad. My father gave
Intern Mark Rowland, the accounting major, was given a safari costume to wear. He was told he'd be working inside the park's zoo. After 2 days of this, all but one of the interns at Chimelong quit. Amusement park staff told students the South China internship program had misidentified them as hospitality students, and they were now on their own. Four American students stuck in China, homeless, crashing on the couches of other expatriate Americans who felt sorry for them.
So we were just couch surfing after we left the employee dorms.
In the end, two students flew back to the U.S., Mark Rowland left for Shanghai, and Keenan Madsen roamed around China staying with friends until the South China internship program found a new placement for him.
Was there, not enough oversight? Yeah. Were there mistakes made in the initial communication process? Yes. We've already tried to address these matters.
Glenn Shive is director of the Hong Kong America Center. His center received a $200,000 grant from the Ford Foundation to partner with the United International College to run the South China internship program for 3 years. It was part of the Obama administration's 100,000 Strong initiative, which aims to bring more U.S. college students to China. Shive says he's sorry about what happened, but he says the problems could have been ironed out had the students stuck around. When you come to China to work, says Shive, the first thing you need to do is reset your expectations.
Anything that's in their minds that they have coming off the airplane to say, I'm here, I'm ready, you told me this, this, and this, and it's not there. And I'm saying this person is going to have a hard time in China.
If there's an expert on U.S. students doing internships in China, it's Jeremy Friedline. He's managed an internship program for CET academic programs for 5 years. The trick, says Friedline, is managing expectations. Even though China is the world's second largest economy, it's still very much a developing one.
In America, when you have an internship in a company, people are used to having interns, generally speaking, and they know what their end of the deal is. In China, internships are more or less just sort of free or cheap labor. And foreign companies and Chinese companies will sort of just make use of that however they want to.
Friedlein says much of China doesn't yet have a culture of internships, and for better or worse, this first wave of young American interns are guinea pigs. But not if Mark Rowland could help it. After leaving the South China internship program, he tapped his university alumni network to find a real internship in Shanghai.
So I've worked there for 4 days now, and I've already done more meaningful stuff in those 4 days than I ever did at Chimelong.
And in doing so, Roland learned the most important lesson for any foreigner living in China. Life here is a thrilling yet chaotic adventure. You'll need connections to help you along the way. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.